Okay, so as we begin this morning, just a quick review of last week, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Why I must be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. One, because I'm not the source. I'm not the watershed. It's God that flows it out. You know, the most dangerous thing I can ever think is okay, I've been, you know, I got an experience with the Holy Spirit, therefore, you know, I'm complete. No. I'm not the source, and I never will be the source, and neither are you. Two, we're to be a river, not a dugout. There needs to be an ongoing flow. When we first moved to, I don't know if you remember this, when we first moved to Grandfell, we went up Highway 47 going towards the valley, and we went by this one pond thing there, and they used it to put fish in, to stock fish, but they had a floating pad in the middle of the thing with a little windmill on it to aerate the pond for the fish. You know, listen, I'm not supposed to be the Dead Sea where something is flowing in but nothing's going out. You know, I've met Christians that are Dead Seas. Not fun to be around. I need to meet the needs of others. You know? Well, praise God, I got the gift of prophecy, or praise God, I got the gift of healing, or praise God, I've got the gift of wisdom or the word of knowledge. You know, God wants to speak to you. But listen, the gift isn't for you. The gift is to flow out to others. You know, it's not a point of bragging. It's God wanting to use you to touch somebody else. Heaven's better than this. Your best day ever. I was trying to find something in the photos, and I'm going through the photos and I saw this lovely couple at the back, and we were at their house and we were doing their wedding. That was a good day. You better say yes. Yeah. As good as that day was, heaven's better. No, it is. Why am I here? To touch others. No, heaven's better than this. Well, let's go. But I have a purpose here. And the purpose isn't for me. The purpose is for somebody else. The purpose is for Chris. No, thank you for the brilliant illustration for today. So fitting. Yeah. I need to be filled to be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Tarry here in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. The word there is dunamis, which is our root for the word dynamite. Now there's two words, two primary words in the Greek for power. To as many as believed unto him, to them he gave the power. That word there is exousia. It's an indwelling power, and it's the person, the resurrected Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in us, giving exousia. It reminds you of other words, doesn't it? To exalt. Exousia. It's God present in you. I've got that, but he says, listen, you need the dunamis. You need the dynamite power that I give. That you can be a witness. You know? I need that. I need to continually be being filled because I quench the Spirit. There's times I shut him down. Hello? There's times I grieve him. So I need to continually be being filled. And I need to continually be being filled so that I don't become conformed to this world. Because the world's always bombarding us. There's all kinds of stuff that happens all the time. And I refer to the J.P. Phillips term and say, don't let the world press you into its mold. You know? The name of the author escapes me. Larry Christensen. He said, Christians are like sponges. Larry, that's a good name. He says, Christians are like sponges. You don't know what's in them until they're squeezed. Have you been squeezed by the Lord lately? And did you rejoice in what came out? Or did you go, oh, I'm quenching and I'm grieving? Huh? That's me. I deal with that on a regular basis in my life. God saying, you need to get this dealt with in your life. I'm going to be honest, I'm making a serious attempt at trying to lose some weight. Because Helen took a picture of us behind the cake, the pastor appreciation cake. Or something. And I looked at it and I thought, oh man, you're twice the man you used to be. Jeez. Yeah. So, and you know, yesterday was Halloween and I was home alone. And do you know how much Halloween candy I had? Zippo. That's the first time in my life. Yeah? And I had the shakes. Yeah, I don't know if I was hearing God last night, but I sure heard the chocolate saying, come hither. Come hither. Just one little bite. One little bite hurts, you know. But I resisted. You know? Okay? Now, as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that begins to tune you to hear God. Amen? Okay? So that takes us to two portions. John 10, 1 to 18. Gospel of John. I was listening to this Baptist lady the other day. She was talking about some stuff. And don't you say amen unless you can do what she does. Amen. That's easy. It's the first time he's in a charismatic church. The first time I heard him say amen. But this woman, she gives instruction on how to memorize scripture. She's memorized the entire New Testament. Amen. Didn't hear it that. You ready for this? I socked it to him. That's an inside joke. She can explain it to you later. So I'm going to read John 10 because I can't quote it. She can. You know? Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now notice that, verse 3, eh? We're going to get back to this in a minute, but I want you, don't just read it and skip over it. Let it register here. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep what? Hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. He knows your name because he wrote it in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? And he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him. Oh, imperfectly. But we're on the way, for they know his voice. Okay? A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus began and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling, a hired hand, and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. And my own know me. You know, if we were a real vibrant, expressive group of people, I'd have you say, okay, I want you all to say this. The Lord knows me. See, not if we were. You had it going there. I cut you off. Go ahead.
The Lord knows me.
Amen. The Lord knows you. He knows you. Yeah. In the deepest, most intimate of ways, He knows every time I stand up, every time I sit down, and that means every time I goof up. You might be able to hide it from your spouse, you may be able to hide it from your employer, you may be able to hide it from the elders and the deacons, but you're not hiding it from God. And He still loves you. Now, somewhat comforting, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. They will do what? Listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the Jew and the Gentile. Okay? You're back in Ephesians 2 now. Of the two, he made one new man. Okay? For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life and that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. That's descriptive of a Christian. Someone who's been bought by the blood of the Lamb, who has now become your shepherd. He knows you by name. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to lead you out. He wants to speak to you. You hear His voice and you follow Him. Perfectly? No. Now, go back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. Verses 1 to 12. This wonderful lady, she's memorized the entire New Testament. Now she's working on the Old Testament. Incredible. Who has believed what he has heard from us? Well, I have. I've believed it. It took me a long time. You know, about 27 years of my life. I'd heard the story before, heard the account before, but it took a long time for the Holy Spirit to grip me and make it real. Who has believed what He has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Been revealed to me. How about you? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. There was nothing in the natural about Jesus that attracted people. No. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. I came to a conclusion this morning that I had deleted it from my phone. I had a picture that I had saved off of the news during the riots this last summer in Portland. And there was this guy walking around in the crowd in the protests in Portland and said, if Jesus comes again, kill him again. And I think I just finally got fed up with that picture and just erased it. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and they esteemed him not. And if he were to appear today, they would do the same. Sure, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Now I suggest to you that between Isaiah 53 and John 10, you have two descriptions of two different kinds of sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. I did for years, but not me anymore. Now I am a sheep of his pasture, and he knows me by name, I know his voice, and I seek to follow him. I do not seek to go astray. Periodically I do, but it's not my seek. Are you tracking with me? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What was the first message that Jesus preached in Matthew 4? After he comes out of the wilderness, the encounter with the adversary. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Don't quit going your own way, John. Quit going astray. Turn. The kingdom of God is at hand. Doesn't mean it's coming soon. At hand means it's right here. You were praying today. And in your prayer, you made mention the reality that God is in us. The kingdom is now. I don't behold it in its fullness until I see him, but it's here now. See, I was listening. Which is why I forgot to come and whisper in your eyes and ask you if you would, you know. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking with it. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. Isn't this interesting? He's like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, but now he's our shepherd. That's worthy of your thought at some point. And like a sheep that was before its shears is silent, he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. As for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death. I don't think it's God that hates rich me, that's, you know. Although he had no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. That's profound. You don't know what I'm going through. How can this be the will of God? Think it through. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring and he shall prolong his days. He will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, even my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. That's what Jesus has done for you. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death. He was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for transgressors. That's Romans 12. No, Romans 8. That he abides and he makes intercession for us. Okay, I want you to know, I hope you observe, there are two different kinds of sheep. There's the natural sheep, and there's the sheep that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 and 6, all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But that's not you and I. And if it is you, you need to repent and get saved. Hi, is that me? Then there's the Lord's own sheep, John 10:3. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. We're not going our own way. We're not Isaiah 53. Hello? We're the sheep of the Lord, and we hear his voice, and he leads us out. Okay? Are you sure God wants to speak to me? Yes! He wants to lead you out. He calls you by name. Hey, Wayne! Hey, John! Hey, Tim! He's calling us. The fundamental difference in the two sheep, Ephesians 2, 1-6, for you were dead in your trespasses and sin, and yet he has made you alive. The one sheep is dead. He goes his own way. He does his own thing. He doesn't hear the voice. He looks at Christ and he sees no value. Jesus would come again, crucify him again, kill him again. I mean, that's what they're saying. It's horrific. You know? I was dead in my trespasses and sin. Well, let's read it. Yeah, that way you know I'm not making this stuff up. Ephesians 2. If you haven't clued in yet, I really like the book of Ephesians. And you were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked. Once, previous. You know, periodically I still do. But it's not a habit. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the world, and the sons of disobedience, among whom we all, even my wife who was raised a missionary's kid and knew the Lord at an early age, she's part of the all. Thank God she never entered into the nonsense that I did. But listen, every believer, we were all children of wrath. Hello? We were. You know, I came from a good home. I came from a Christian background. You know. No, you needed a Savior. You know? Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature, the children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But, isn't that a powerful three-letter word? That's what I was. But God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Amen. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, so there's a contrast here. One's dead, one's alive. I was once dead, but now I'm alive. Okay? So there's two kinds of sheep. Is God speaking to those that are dead? The natural sheep, that's major point number two. Almighty God invites all to reason. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Okay? Oh, I skipped the second point in 1 and 3. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're folly to him. And he's not able to understand because they are spiritually discerned. I learned a long time ago, present the gospel to people, but don't argue with them. Because they don't get it. All you can do is present the truth. You know? God says, come reason together. But they won't get it. So just keep loving them. And when opportunity arises, present. And if they ask a question, and you can tell by the tone of their voice and by the look on their face, that they're seriously inquiring. They're not looking for a fight. You know? I saw something on Facebook not long ago. He essentially said, I'm at the age where I'm not interested in fighting anymore. No? Not interested in the nonsense. You know, if somebody wants to come up and argue with me, to all that are here right now, if you want to argue with me, I'm not interested. No? Take it up with God. Go to the Word. You know what the difference between the Bereans and a lot of Christians? You know, some Christians are looking for an argument. But those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they went home to search the Scriptures to see whether such things were so or not. They didn't hold on to their biases or their prejudices. They didn't go home to disprove. They went home to go into the Scriptures to prove. You know? My back gets up. I don't know about you. But my back gets up when I sense somebody is coming to argue with me. You know? I'm not interested. I want to know what God says. Don't tell me what you think He says. Tell me what He says. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. If you can't give me chapter and verse, then you're giving me your opinion. I want the Word. Hello? Man lives by every opinion that people have. No! Man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know? He says, come, let us reason together. Though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Romans 10:1 to say, well, time is moving on. We'll be 12:20 if we read all this. He says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Okay? 10:17. How will they hear except one be sent? How precious are the feet of them who bring good news? That's a quote from the Old Testament, but that's in Romans 10. We need the Holy Spirit to bear witness, but not to argue. Let the Holy Spirit deal with them. You know? The natural response, Isaiah 53, is who's believed? There is no beauty in him that they should desire him. Verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men. Listen, if they'll reject Christ and they'll reject the Holy Spirit, what in the world makes me think that they'll respond to me? Ain't going to happen. You know? Present the truth. Do it in love. But avoid the arguments. It's a snare. It'll drag you down. And then usually we blow it. Hello? And then they go, you Christians are just such hypocrites, and you're Bible thumpers, and you're this, that, and the other thing. You know? The natural person remains unrepentant. Matthew 4:17. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen, I don't know anybody that's been able to lead somebody to repentance. Haven't met that person yet. No person led me to repentance. I read a book by Norman Vincent Peale that had a major impact in my life. The title of the book was Sin, Sex, and Self-Control. Because I was a mess. You know, and I heard his name before. I had no idea at the end of the book that he presented Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. But he did. Ask my wife. You know, I like to read in the tub. I was reading in the tub. So I guess I got saved and baptized at that very moment. And he had the sinners further. And I read it and I prayed it and I meant it. And a couple of days later, I realized it wasn't Norman Vincent Peale. The Holy Spirit had used that book to grip me. The Holy Spirit got through to me. Yeah. You know, not a lot of, you know, and I remember I shared with one prof, you know, that I was asked, you know, what brought you to Christ? And, you know, and he had a lot of criticism about Norman Vincent Peale. And I just said, well, thanks very much. And I turned around and walked away. Because that book was used by him, by God, to get me to God. You know, so I said a long time ago, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know? Let God be the judge. But I got value because the Holy Spirit used it. Did Norman Vincent Peale save me? No. God did. The Holy Spirit did. He quickened my spirit. Now we're the Lord's sheep. We've accepted His offer to come in reason. We've accepted His cleansing and now have... we now have our name... I got their name, but it should be our name, in the last book of life. Revelation 21:27. But nothing unclean will ever enter in. That's a heavy word. It doesn't say we'll eventually enter in. It says we'll never enter in. Nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Do you have that inner peace and conviction that your name is written in that book? You need to have that conviction. And if you don't, come and talk with one of the elders and deacons and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Now we're one of the sheep belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18 says, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm no longer going my own way. I'm no longer that kind of sheep. I'm no longer dead in my trespasses and sin. The old has passed away. Not will, has. Behold, the new will come. No, has come. If you're waiting for something to come, stand in front of Jesus and let it hit you. It's here now. Though it does not yet appear what we shall be when we see Him, but it's here now. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The only reason you and I are here is because God wants to use us to help somebody else be reconciled to God. And as I said at the beginning in the introduction, take my word for it, heaven is better than this. And the only reason to be here is to help somebody else get there. All you can do is be the river that flows out, but the Holy Spirit is going to make them drink. What's that? I need a drink. Nothing worse than a dry preacher. What's the old saying about horses, Sam? Anyone?
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
There we go.
It's not that hard.
Not to remember, yeah. If they're thirsty, you lead them water. They'll drink. If they choose not to drink, guess what? Not thirsty. No? You can present Jesus Christ to people, but listen, only the Holy Spirit can make them thirsty. I came to a point in my life where it was, this thing's either going to blow up in my face, well, I've got to change it. It was either be a professional drunk for the rest of my life or give my life over to something else. And when I saw the title of that book, I thought, that describes it, Sin, Sex, and Self-Control. Quite honestly, my big beef was I wasn't having much sex. Well, come on, be honest. Can we be honest in church? You know? Why did you go to the bar and drink? Hoping to meet somebody. You know? My dad wasn't a strong Christian. He says, son, if you want to meet a good woman, don't go to a bar. Go to church. And that's where I met Lynn. Somebody in here ought to be saying amen. That's where I met my wife, was in church. She wasn't my wife when I met her. I mean, but eventually she became my wife. Eventually. Did I tell you? I met her and 3 weeks later we got engaged. You know? She was desperate, baby. I don't know. All I know is this. Is I was at the age that when I met her and I got to know her after 3 weeks, I thought, you're not going to find better than this. You're not. You know. And I went to Fred DeBolt's place. He invited me over for supper. He was one of the. He was a mature student in the Bible college, and I told him about, you know, what I thought of Lynn, and he says, "Well, let's pray." You know, and I was, you know, 27 at the time, and Fred was maybe 47. Single, you know, worked in a men's clothing store, and so I said, okay, yeah, sure. So I'm taking my glasses off and getting myself, I can stand up and turn around, and he's already down praying, and then he jumps up. I haven't even got down on my knees yet. He says, okay, what do you want to drink? I said, I thought we were going to pray. He says, I just did. He says, God says she's the one. So there's no sense continuing to pray when you got an answer. Hey. Okay. And a week later, I proposed. And she's regretted it ever since. I mean, yeah. This is the same guy. He phones me. I'm Lynn and I are married. I'm the camp caretaker at Crescent Beach, our church camp. I was playing football with the guys in the morning, and I hurt my this finger, my ring finger, on the right hand. And then they x-rayed it, and they said it looks like it may have a little bone chip in there, so they put a splint on it. So what did I do in the afternoon? Played football again. Got the splint hooked and really did damage, you know. And he phones that night. And the phone rings, and I got paged into the kitchen, and I take the phone, and he says, John, this is Fred. I said, oh, hi, Fred, how you doing? He said, listen, don't give me any information. He said, but the Lord quickened me that I should phone you and pray for you. You injured yourself. It's got something to do with a hand. I think it's got a finger to do, you know. And I just, God wants me to pray for you and let you know that your finger's going to be okay. And all I can think of is, this is the guy that said, I already prayed, and God said, this is the one. So, okay, my finger's going to be okay. I was supposed to lose 80% of my movement. Didn't. You know? God wants to speak to you today. He wants to lead you. He wants to run. You know? Right? The kingdom of God is at work now. Notice the propensities of your sheep in John 10. A propensity is a natural inclination to do things. You know? We had a dog that was part spaniel and chocolate lab. She liked water. That's a propensity of labs. You know? I could put her in a pasture of sheep, and I'm sure she'd do nothing but look for the water. But a border collie will do what? Herd them. You hardly have to train them. They just, you know, they're doing, you know. It's their propensity. Listen, because you are born again, because you are a believer, you have certain propensities or inclinations that are natural to you of the Holy Spirit and of Christ who resides in you that lead you in a certain way. And here's the way, that you hear His voice. That you desire to follow Him. You know? Again, it says, you know His voice. A stranger, they won't follow. Mom and Dad had two dogs, Boston Bull Terriers, together. They're kind of a mated pair, Victor and Cookie. Dad insisted that Victor had brain damage because when they found him in this abandoned house, he had ear mites, and he was convinced that the mites had caused brain damage. His neighbor said, oh, no, Fred. They couldn't find Victor, so they're heading down the islands. They took Cookie and they left Victor behind. They get back, and the neighbor's looking after Victor, and she says, you know, you call him retarded, but I want you to know, Fred, I had a long talk with him, and he's fine. Now my dad questions somebody else's. But Victor had problems. And they'd call him, and he'd go the opposite way. He'd take off. He'd put his ears back and away you go. They didn't have a tail, but you know, a little stubby thing and away you go. Dad would look at Victor. Cookie, go get Victor. She'd go get him, bring him back. He'd be just trotting along, you know, little Boston Bull Terrier. And he'd slow down and she'd nip at his backside and he'd get going again. You know? Do you ever feel like that sometimes in your Christian walk? That the Holy Spirit's biting at your backside? Because you're not listening? You know? I want to be like Cookie. You know, obedient, responding, hearing. Now listen, that's our propensity. But you can shut it down. You can quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. That's the last point. This is what we conclude. Does this mean believers never err? Are never deceived or make shipwreck? Absolutely not. It means we must really work at it. Not at salvation. We have to work at ignoring God. And we do it all the time. Turning our back on His Word, His Spirit, and His servants called to walk with us. I love fellowship. I love the people here. Because this is where God has brought you to help me. Not me help you. You're helping me. We must willfully and deliberately act contrary to the new natural propensities that accompany the new birth. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give them a new heart. I'll take out the heart of stone. I'll give them a new heart and a new spirit, and I will cause them to walk in my statutes. He's doing that. But I tend to shut it off. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. I need to do that in my life. You know, I enjoy preparing the Bible study because that forces me to get more into the Word. You know, the easiest thing to do, you know, the board said to me on one occasion, you know, do you want to continue to do this? You know, want to take the summer out? Okay. But it's not an extra task for me. It forces me to be disciplined and in the Word. That I don't just float. 2 Timothy 3:13. Evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's a deceiver out there. If I'm not in the Word, I'm going to get tricked. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. Such men are false prophets, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. 1 Timothy 17:20. Lynn and Cheryl, do you guys want to prepare? And we're going to serve the emblems here. We'll get you to do the task that you've been doing so well the last few months. 1 Timothy 17:20. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with all the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, listen, I don't ever want to see this. This is the Word of God, and it won't perish. Forever in Scripture says, by this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. They were men of faith, but they chose to make a shipwreck. Hello? Among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. They didn't lose their salvation. I'm going to match that up with 1 Corinthians 5. There's sin mentioned among you, there's sin mentioned among the heathens, that one is having his father's wife as a sexual partner. It's not his mother, but it's his father's wife. He says, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, but that his soul would be saved in that day.